Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Yes, it does. From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville. We'll go down to Fort Lauderdale shortly. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer, will join us.
He's running scared right now.
Running scared.
He wants none of me tonight.
I mean, you know, it was a bye week, right? There's not really much to complain about tonight.
No, just overall.
I'm sure you'll find something.
League-wide issues we're going to discuss tonight.
Like?
I have no idea.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get. I mean, a lot of good stuff. It was a weekend off that I did not plan on having off.
Yeah,
it was different.
Much different than a normal bye week.
It was.
Yeah,
a little bit of work and everything else, but got to watch some of the football games. Got to enjoy the Red Zone channel
yesterday. Is really awesome, by the way.
The Red Zone channel.
I mean, it's always on, but I never get to hear it in here.
They do an outstanding job.
Really cool.
And then watch that San Diego, fourth quarter of that San Diego Chargers Raiders game. Which,
how did they lose again?
I didn't check the waiver wire, but that punter had to be cut. Had to be cut. So that was fun, though. It was fun watching those games, and it ended depressingly last night, which I'm not going to get into too much, but the debate made me...
Oh, well, yeah, let's not go there.
I'm not going.
This
depresses
Jaguars
me.
Monday.
I know, it just depresses me and went to watch the... But the good news is...
I thought you were going to say you went to the bar last night.
No. The good news was the Giants-Packers game was on.
Ah, yes.
That was a fun football game to watch, so a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Let's not go debate.
Oh, I'm not. I refuse to.
Okay.
I was just saying it was depressing.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it. Well, obviously, because I didn't have... Power.
Yeah, you have no power.
That's okay.
What would you have watched, though, if both
– Oh, football all day. Or baseball. I was watching baseball when it went out Friday night.
I felt like I had a civic duty at least to start there. I mean, it's a big deal. We're going to vote for a president here in 30 days. So I thought I had a civic duty to watch a little bit, and, boy, it was a bad decision. Should have gone right to football.
Well, now you know.
I know. That's I know not to get. Watch ever again.
That's what you get.
Or at least this cycle.
That's what you get. So we'll go around the league coming up a little bit later. Pete Prisco is we're out to Pete Prisco. We'll get to him coming up. So bye week, early, week 5. Now going into week 6. That means no rest for the weary the rest of the way. And the next quarter of the season, well, there's 3 road games in there. In this next 4-game stretch, that's a tough little stretch coming up.
Yeah, it's a tough stretch. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future. If they want to play in London early. The Colts this past weekend did not have a bye. They played and they won.
Played pretty good.
And they played fine. Does Gus and Dave and Mr. Kahn, you know, do they decide, like, listen, if we're going to play this early game, let's not have the early bye week every year? You know, is it a disadvantage? I mean, some teams had the bye week last week. I mean, the Eagles had a bye week last week. There's a handful of teams that had week 4, so even earlier. So that can happen whether you play in London or not. I always like to, you know, in a perfect world, you have a bye week about week 7 or 8. Now, with some of the injuries they've had, you know, leading into it, some would argue, hey, it worked out okay and everything is, you know, going to work out just fine moving forward. But it is a long stretch, 12 straight games, 3 of the next 4 on the road. As a player, I don't know if it wouldn't have affected me back when I was playing because I didn't like the bye week. Because the bye week is not what it is now, where it's basically almost a week off. The bye week was 3 or 4 hard practices.
You
got like 2 days off, and then you came back, and it was an extra long week the following week.
I guess I'm not really I shouldn't be shocked by that.
So it wasn't like, oh, it was nice to have the weekend off, I guess. But it wasn't like you were going traveling. I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere. I'd just sit in the house and do nothing.
Well, guys nowadays are out of here like Tuesday night, Wednesday, right?
Tuesday, Wednesday, I think they got.
They're gone.
So good for them. I'm happy for them. But when you're a player, you kind of get in your rhythm, and I liked getting a rhythm. And I said, let's just keep going. Let's keep this thing. Let's keep this train going. And now, if you're not playing well or it's going sideways, maybe the break is good. But they came off a win. You hope they can pick it up. But now you got this tough stretch. And I think you talk about 3 games on the road of the next 4. I think it's a very critical stretch for this team that really determines what they're going to be able to do in November and December from a standpoint of the division. You look at the division, Houston lost yesterday. They got two losses. The Colts and the Titans both win. They have two wins, three losses. And so right now where you sit, you very well could end up looking at if you find a way to win against Chicago, who I think this team is better than and they should win, you'll have the same amount of losses as everyone else in the division most likely, because Houston, I think, they got some issues up there.
The quarterback didn't play well at all.
He hasn't played well all year, I don't think. And I'm not sure who they play next week. We can look at that in a second. But, you know, you could find yourself very easily right where you need to be in the division, and everything's sitting right in front of you, and you take care of business, everything will be fine. So, but, you know, you got Chicago, you got Tennessee in this four-game stretch on a Thursday night.
Up there, yeah, on the
up
road.
Up there.
Yep.
Haven't had a Thursday night on the road for a while around here.
Not since I've been around, no.
And so there's, you know, some challenges are presented, and that's a Tennessee team that's playing pretty good football right now, especially if Mariota plays the way he did. So, long story short, next four games are critical. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine about this today. It's so interesting to me. 2 weeks ago or so, we sat here and talked about how this is a must win. That this game against the Indianapolis Colts is a must win. And how the NFL works, you get to enjoy it for about 5 minutes, because when it's over, especially when you lose the first three, guess what? The next one is a must win, because if you don't win this one, the Indy win means nothing anymore. And so you find yourselves and that's the good
and
bad.
You're going to make me puke.
What?
You're going to make me puke. Here I am. I've been waiting to get in here. We've had all kinds of connection problems, and I get in and you're talking like a coach already. Game, one game at a time, then must win. Forget about the last one.
No, I'm talking from a player's perspective that in the
end. And a coach's perspective.
No, in a player's perspective, the way this league works, Pete, especially when you start, you know, what you did, especially after a bye week, or even if you win the day before, it doesn't matter. It literally does not mean anything.
It means something, because they would have been in big trouble if they didn't win.
It means something, obviously, in the big picture schedule. I mean, record wise, but as far as you as a player and what you need to do and to achieve your goals and where you want to go, that doesn't mean anything now. All it is about Chicago, and we have to find to beat Chicago. And we've put ourselves in that hole where I think it creates some must-win situations, or maybe must-win's not the right terminology, but a lot of pressure to win, because we put ourselves in a three-game hole. And so you look up, you say, that was great what we did in London with Indy. Well, we got to beat the Bears now. Otherwise, that doesn't mean much. You disagree with that, Pete?
No, still, you always got to look forward. But I crack up because I –
So you think it means – so if they do not beat – if they somehow don't beat Chicago, you're telling – I mean, the Indy means nothing.
Well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things. Well, yeah, because this team put itself in a hole to begin with, Tony. So, yes, I get it.
JP, is that not what I just said?
Everything you were talking about,
and then he comes on the air, the first thing he says is, I'm an idiot.
Well, he's right.
No, it's just you're typically talking in Tony speak, which is one game at a time, one play at a time.
Speak.
We can't look at the draft. You can never look ahead.
No, we're not looking
at the draft, Pete. We're not doing it. No,
look
no
at JP's
word.
Yelling. Now JP's yelling.
Enough
at
of that. It's week five, week six.
No, Tony, I get what you're saying. You're right. I mean, you are actually right. It's just you put it in Tony speak, but you are right. You got to put that behind, because they dug themselves a big hole.
That's right.
I mean, they're in the hole. And every game is, like you said, is almost must win now for them. Even as bad as the division is. The division stinks.
It's not very good.
By the way, the Texans host the Colts next week, this coming week. Texans host the Colts Sunday night
and
football.
Tennessee's gonna, and Tennessee's staring 3-3 in the face, by the way, because they're going to beat Cleveland at home this week.
That's true.
Yeah, if Mariota plays the way he did this past weekend, they're pretty good.
Well, so, yeah, all of a sudden the division, you know, it stinks, but it's competitive. I mean,
You say the division stinks, Pete.
And it's terrible.
Can I finish my comment and slash question? Okay. You say they stink, but tell me the good division in this league. Tell me this. Tell me the division that's just stacked.
Well, but no division is stacked, but there's divisions that have really good teams in them and then a bunch of bad teams.
Okay.
This division doesn't have a good team in it.
Let's go through these really good teams.
I'll take the NFC East.
the East.
Right.
Okay, you have Philly and Dallas. And I understand they're both one's 4-1, one's 3-1, but they're playing rookie.
You don't believe it.
They're playing rookie quarterbacks, and I mean,
for the long term, maybe not.
Peter, you a believer long term?
No, and I tend to agree with you.
I've actually heard people talk about saying they should, you know, keep Romo on the bench when he gets healthy and not instead.
Dak's killing it, man. What do you want?
I'm taking nothing away from the kid. He's playing good football, but okay, the NFC. You got the
all right, so the top
Giants.
Two and three, they didn't look great.
Stink bombs the last couple of weeks. You know, the Redskins are the Redskins. Okay, it's a nice division. It's not like world beaters.
NFC North, Minnesota. And
Minnesota is the best team in football.
Right now they are, yes. And then you got Green Bay.
The Packers. So that's a strong division. Okay, that's two strong teams. The NFC South is atrocious.
Well, the Falcons are playing pretty good football.
Peacock.
There's three other teams in that division, unfortunately.
I'm not a believer in the Falcons still. I know it's not fair to them, but after what
they did. But it is a better division than AFC South. Yes, it is. Right now it is. Which of the AFC South teams would have gone to Denver and won yesterday?
The Jaguars.
Oh, stop it. They would have had Von Miller, like, with career high 8 sacks.
No, they wouldn't have.
Stop it.
Pete.
Cut it
My
out.
Man Parnell would lock him up. All right, and then you have the NFC West. Arizona is a train wreck. San Francisco
terrible. San Francisco's terrible. Seattle's really good, and the Rams are bleh.
Yeah, okay. And
But each of those divisions has a team that you could sit there and say is a Super Bowl challenger, correct?
No, I do not think the NFC South has a Super Bowl challenger in that. If you're trying to sell me right now that the Falcons are a Super Bowl challenger, I will take that bet and whatever you want to bet, and I'll give you odds.
What if they go to Seattle and win? What if they go to Seattle?
I don't care if they go to the moon and win. They're not a Super Bowl. No.
If they win at Seattle this week to win back-to-back road games at Denver and at Seattle, you don't think they're a contender?
No, I do not think they're a Super Bowl contender.
Wow.
Okay, but they're better than right now they're better than anybody in the AFC South, correct?
Okay, that's fine. But
what else do they have to do to be a contender then?
They have to do it for 16 games. This was a team that
was
5-0.
Is Carolina a contender?
No, Carolina's done. Rookie corners, okay. Two tackles who can't block anybody right now.
Quarterback's hurt.
Okay. All right, so you go to the
AFC West. You have the Broncos.
And
who came back to life.
And the Raiders.
I'm not a believer in the Raiders yet either. They're playing with
But every one of those teams is better right now than anybody in the AFC South.
I would not say the Raiders are. I would say Denver is for sure. And who did Kansas City plays tonight, correct?
Well, San Diego's clearly better than Jacksonville in the South because they destroyed them.
That's fair enough. But Kansas City plays. Is Kansas City a bye week?
Yeah. Bucks,
they had a bye this week.
Bucks-Panthers tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
You must have missed that Pittsburgh game.
Well, I know, but AFC North, Pittsburgh.
Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Bengals aren't playing very well.
No,
but they're still better than everybody. They're still better than everybody in the South.
I'll take the
Bengals
still better
right
than
everybody.
Now. No way.
Which team in the South is better than the Bengals, though?
All of them. Let's go to break right now.
Tony, you just went through everything that you tried to say, and we proved the point. And then you got New England in the other one. There's no contender in the South, which is why Jacksonville, as bad as they've been the first month of the season, can still win it. It stinks.
We'll come back in a moment and break down how the Jags might start winning it on the offensive line.
And I want to hear what do the Jags have to do to become contender?
Could have been a contender.
Could have been
Monday.
Somebody.
Could have been somebody. To all y'all Jacksonville runners, don't miss the Stash Dash at Everbank Field Saturday. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Raiders-Jags game. Sign up today at Jaguars.com/Stash Dash. A little offensive line talk and more coming up. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Appreciate just the whole city, the first responders, you know, a lot of things going on for our team, a lot of things going on for everybody in our whole state and up and down the East Coast. So just appreciate everybody's efforts to try to make it as smooth as possible. We feel very fortunate to be here still and to be able to practice at our facilities.
There's head coach Gus Bradley earlier today. He spoke with the media. Jags locker room was open also today after a short helmets-only practice. Closed to the media today. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco. And we're talking a little offensive line.
Hey, J.P., I got to show you this picture.
What do you got now? What do you got?
Here's my picture of me first in line waiting Saturday.
I'm looking at Tony's phone.
Can we get this on? Can we get this on?
You're leaning on the side of a St. Johns County Sheriff's car.
I'm going to put it up so Hollywood can zoom in on this if you can.
Chatting with
I want to see it too.
A sheriff's deputy.
Let me see if we can make this work a little bit.
It's on some website, and he's taking the photo, and we'll see which camera we can get on that. If you're on Jaguars.com.
Come on, get in there tight, Hollywood.
Yeah, he's not lying, Pete. He was the first in line to meet the sheriff's office or sheriff's deputies. To go across the bridge. He's eager. He was eager to get home.
Oh, I wanted to go bad.
Tony, how was it? You guys okay? Everybody okay?
Yeah, no problems at all, Pete.
How about you, Pete?
Everything was fine. The power went out for 24 hours, and that was a pain.
Yeah.
Did you leave? But did you go anywhere?
I left Saturday to come to Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, that's right.
But on Thursday and Friday, we were here. But, not having power makes you appreciate the little things, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hot shower, candles at night. I mean, you got no internet. You have no TV. It's just like
I went stir crazy. Yeah. You know what the worst part was? I was up by my mom, so the power went off Friday, let's say 1 o'clock, and up to then it wasn't bad. I was on working, hanging out. All of a sudden the power goes out, and then I went stir crazy. So I told my family, which was not a lie. I had to charge my phone, so I went and sat in my car by myself for 2 hours, and. But then that stopped working because all of a sudden, for whatever reason, for like a few hours, my cell service went out. I don't know if a tower by me got hit or something. So I had nothing at all. And that's why I got up at 5 a.m. the next morning and went and waited with my officer. That's my officer from St. Johns County, Bobby. And I sat there and drank coffee and waited for it to open up. I mean, when I got home, Pete.
You had to wait till noon, right?
11:45.
You sat there for five and a half hours.
Unbelievable.
5 and a half hours.
What's wrong with you?
It was great. I was by myself, me and Officer Bobby, hanging out, talking.
Those kids must have drove you crazy.
Watching people make lies up to try to get across the bridge to him. Him telling them to get out of there. It was outstanding. And then I got across, Pete, I had power and everything at my house.
I heard people were getting nasty with those guys too.
Yeah, I was for the most part people were good, but a couple people got nasty. I'm like, come on, guys, what's he gonna do? I mean, he was actually so professional. If I said this earlier, Pete, before he got on, if I was a police officer, I'd arrested him. I'd have tased him. I would have done something. I mean, these people. I'm like, give me a break. We're not going anywhere. We're sitting here.
Right.
I haven't been here 5.5 hours because I'm bored.
Situations like that, you can replace anything that you have at your house.
That's right.
As long as your life is okay and your family's okay, it's all that matters.
That's right.
Everything else is replaceable.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so it was good. I hats off to all the first responders, to JSO and the St. Johns County Sheriff's Department, to the guys at JEA and all the different electric companies. I mean, can't say enough. When I got there, before the guy in that picture, Bobby, and he came on about 30 minutes after I got there. But the guy who was there before had been on the clock for almost 24 hours.
Wow. How about that?
Or maybe he was up for that long because it was crazy. So, they did a great job. I'm telling you what. I cannot say enough good things.
And thanks to all all the first responders and everybody else, but thanks to the JEA, man, you got that power on quickly. I appreciate that.
You know what?
I was going nuts too.
I have a different perspective because I was not going to leave, but the only reason I left because my wife told me I had to. I was going to ride it out at the beach, which has not been smart.
That's a dumb idea.
It would have. And I'll say this though, next time I'm not going to. I won't ride it out. Not that I don't want to, but I won't do it because of what the strain that it puts on the police officers. Because part of the reason they asked everyone to leave is because they can't be there and they're trying to patrol and they're trying to manage it. And if you stay, you're then risking some of these first responders' lives as well, because if it does go sideways and them trying to figure out a rescue your rear end. So I had a little bit of a different perspective after sitting around talking to people and kind of scoping it out. that when you do stay, you know, you're putting every, you're kind of, you're stressing out a lot of other people. So it was an interesting, just happy that it did not, that Matthew decided to stay about 45 miles offshore, because if it would have been 45 miles to the west, we would have been, we'd have been a load of trouble. I'm not sure we'd be broadcasting right
now.
We
wouldn't be right now.
Because it would have really tore things up.
Yeah, it was bad.
How'd you get out? What time did you get out Saturday, Pete? The airport was open,
about,
I guess?
5 o'clock, and you know what? About 4:30, and there wasn't – it was about 50 people at the airport. I thought it would be a madhouse from flights getting canceled the day before. There was nobody there. It was great.
Wow.
And, you know, flight was a little bumpy getting up because of the wind was still kind of whipping around. But other than that, it was fine.
It's not bad at all. Hey, we're up against another break. We're going to come back and talk offensive line.
Yeah, what I thought it was important to talk about.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, after what Gus said and everything else.
What a weird weekend here in Jacksonville.
It was crazy. Great people. I'll tell you what, police officers don't get – first responders don't get enough credit. They're great people.
We'll get back to football when we come back. Offensive line, we'll talk a little defense coming up as well. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I think it'll be okay. I think, you know, everything will work out, especially when you have good chemistry and you have good relationships. When somebody steps in, you have an ability to just speed things up, and I think we have that ability to do things now because we've been around each other for some time now. You know, when you're able to run the ball and protect the quarterback, you can put anybody back there, you can plug and play.
There's Kelvin Beachum, Jaguars left tackle, in the locker room earlier today. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Pete Prisco in the plug-and-play portion of this program is at left guard. Luke Jokel, ACL, MCL, meniscus. He's done, under the knife already. So who plays left guard is the question moving forward. Omame played pretty well last week and has played a lot in the league. You got some options there. Shatley could go over there, right?
I don't think there's any option.
Yeah,
Tony.
It's Omame.
It should be Omame.
Yeah, number one, the way he played.
Yeah.
And I thought him and Kelvin played very well together, not just him individually. So I think it's Omame, and I think it's an easy decision.
I went back and got a chance to watch that tape last week, and I agree with you 100%, Tony. He was physical. He's a physical player. Now, I don't know if he's a great pass protector, and he hasn't been in his career, so that could be a little concerning, but he was physical in the run game, I thought.
Yeah, but Chris Reed's not a great
blocker either. He's better than Chris Reed.
Yeah, I think he is as well. And I think he's
Chris Reed was terrible the day he played. He was
I think he was playing against a little bit better competition. Brandon.
It doesn't matter. He was terrible.
Brandon Mebane
it was good competition on every team, right? I mean, it's the NFL.
Yeah, Timmy Jernigan. The Ravens inside are really good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it is.
Brandon Williams,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Omame. I don't think it's Shatley. And I don't think it's Chris Reed. I think it's a pretty easy decision, and I think they'll be fine. I really do. I don't think they'll miss a beat. I think what they started doing against the Colts is more downhill, north and south running, more double teams and power type of football. I think Omame can do that well. I think they'll stick to that. And I think they're going to have a big day against Chicago. I think it's a breakout. I haven't watched any tape of Chicago yet, so I don't really know why I'm saying this.
What are you basing this on?
I might just feelings, gut, which is, you know, maybe I had something bad for lunch. Maybe that's why.
Is this Tony talk again? What is this? What did you call Pete earlier?
Coach talk? This is not coach talk. Coaches would never talk like this.
No, they wouldn't.
I got a feeling it's a breakout game offensively for this team. Chicago's okay. They're not great on defense, and they have Brandon Hoyer playing quarterback. And
Brian.
What did I say?
Brandon.
No, I mean, I was thinking Brandon Williams. Brian Hoyer.
There might be a Brandon Hoyer out there.
Yeah, but not quarterback
for the Bears.
No. I'll dig into the tape, but my initial kind of watching the TV copy and watching them play against the Colts and a little bit of Dallas. And
it's a winnable game.
I don't think it's just winnable, Pete. I think they are supposed to win. I think they're better.
Well, they're underdogs.
Are they really?
Yeah.
It's like 2 points or something, isn't it?
2 point underdog. Yeah.
So like, that means on a neutral field, they'd be a favorite because you get three for the
road. Yeah, you asked about the defense. And, you know, Chicago's ranked points given up.
30th.
Chicago is, no, they're 21st.
I thought no. total defense, their like yards are eighth, and I thought scoring their 30th.
No, I'm looking at it right now. Through October 9th, Chicago is 13th in total defense yards. They're 24th against the rushing yards per game. And points allowed, they're giving up they're 21st in the league.
Okay.
So
a little better than that.
So it's not a good defense.
Where are the Jags ranked, just out of curiosity? I haven't looked at any rankings.
Defense?
Yeah.
What do you think they're ranked in the defensive in yards?
Yards top 10.
Yeah, they're seventh.
Seventh, right?
Yeah. But points, they're down there because of the San Diego game.
They're 24th.
Yeah, because the San Diego game hurt them.
But, I mean, they're seventh in yards. They're sixth in yards per play. They're seventh in.
I bet you their red zone defense isn't very good.
Their red zone defense, I'll tell you exactly what it is in a second when I find it. But, yeah, and you know, they're also, you know, when you look at the key stat, the takeaways, they're not good in the, you know, takeaway department either. They're minus -2.
That's not good, Pete.
Defense, red zone defense is defense inside the 20. They are 21st.
Yeah, that's not very good either. Mm. That's where you got to prove. I think the most important statistics defensively are, one, scoring defense, two, turnover or takeaways, three, red zone efficiency of keeping people out of the end zone, forcing field goals, and four, third down conversions. Those four matter more than total yards in my book.
Yeah, takeaways,
red zone,
right, inside the
third, and total scoring.
Third down, yeah.
Those are the four. I agree with you. That's all that matters. Be good in those four, and you're going to win a lot of football games.
Somebody, you know, there's a theory out there on yards per pass play, too.
Yeah, that's too much.
That's
for
become
me.
Has become a much more relevant stat than it used to be.
Yeah, I guess you, and maybe if you're good at those other four, you're good at that one. But if you're good at scoring defense, red zone defense, third down defense, and taking the ball away, you're going to be pretty dang good at everything else. I mean, that's how you win. I mean, this isn't breaking news or anything.
They're 20th in third down defense.
Not letting them score.
Tony. Yeah, 20th and third down defense.
Yeah, they've had trouble getting off third down at times.
Yeah, 20.
Early in the year, it was on penalties. They'd get a stop and then it would be a penalty.
26 of 57. They're 45.6% getting them off.
You need to be down about mid to low 30s.
You know what, though? The offense stinks on third down, too.
I know.
The offense is the worst in the league on third down. Did you know that?
Yeah. In the 20s, high 20s.
28-3. Yeah. Worst in the league.
Mm.
28-3 would be high 20s.
That's not good.
So I said, I gave you the exact number. You said high 20s. I said 28.3.
My guess is they're not good in red zone defense, offense either. That'd be my gut.
They are in the red zone on offense. They are – actually, they're not – they're 10th.
Okay. Oh. Not very many opportunities, I guess. If you look at opportunities, my guess is they're on the lower end
11.
Of opportunities.
They've had 11.
And they've converted.
And they've scored 7 TDs, yeah, Tony. 7 out of the
I know, 11. But how many – compared to the rest of the league, the 11 is not a lot of opportunities.
No, there's 20 – Atlanta's at 23. San Diego's at 23.
Yeah. So, listen, know, just to put it in perspective, so 11 in four games – you're getting down in the red zone just over two and a half times.
That might be part of the reason this team is 1-3.
Or 2, you know, 2.75.
I'm going to throw it out there and see.
So just
know.
Under 3.
Tampa Bay, who plays tonight, has only been in 10 times. The Rams have only been in 9 times.
Yeah,
think
okay.
About that.
Those are teams that don't score a lot of points.
Cleveland, 12.
Okay, those are
in
see,
5 games.
Let me give a little bit of something to everyone to think about. Groupings you do not want to be a part of. Browns, Rams, Buccaneers.
Especially on offense.
Groups you want to be a part of. Steelers, Patriots, Falcons. I mean, you want me? That's what you want me talking about.
Patriots have had 15, Tony.
Yeah, but the two games with Jacoby Brissett, you got to take out. I mean, it's not
okay,
fair.
Okay, who else has had a lot? You said Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's had 14 only.
Well, because they score
from
the
distance.
50 every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, well, a long way out.
Right, so that's where that number can be misleading on offense.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm saying,
but it's better to have it than not to have it.
My whole point is saying these things is, things you want to be grouped with. You remember, like, the SATs, like, which one of these don't belong, or which one are these grouped with? And you had to make that choice on the SAT, which you failed, Pete, is why you went to Arizona State. But
Harvard of the West, what are you talking about?
No, it's not. It's the ITT of the West.
If you hadn't got a scholarship, you would have been in a JUCO. If they hadn't filled in your grade report,
and I don't want to talk bad about ITT because it's more prestigious than Arizona State, so I hate to bring ITT down with Arizona State.
When you were in high school, they gave you grades so you could get a scholarship to go to college.
Not anymore.
Sorry, ITT. Nothing personal. Nothing personal at all. That was a bad joke of all the people I offended right there. My point, you know, you want to, when you're talking about offense, you want to be lumped in with the good teams. I mean, overall, and this is where I was pushing back, even though Pete is right about the division, I get tired of hearing the AFC South stinks, the Jaguars stink. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when they start talking about, you know, the teams we're looking at this year are the Patriots, the Steelers, the Jaguars. I mean, you want to be in those groupings, not the groupings of, well, you got the Bills and the Jags and the Bucks. I mean, it's time to change it. The only way you change it is you win. Got to win.
Win football games. We'll come back and go through the injury report for the Jags. And coming up, your calls as well. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Tony Maselli is anxious and waiting and ready to talk to the masses like he was at the bridge the other day.
Yeah, listen, I am a people of the person of the people, people or of the people.
Whatever.
Man of the people. That's
all
what
of
I was
the
looking
above.
For, yeah.
You want to be in that group.
I was struggling with that. The ITT comment got me flustered. I feel bad now. I feel guilty. I'm going to get yelled at by my wife.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
He's multiple. He can play different positions, but you know, he did some really good things, kind of what we anticipated in the game. There's a couple plays, you know, he's got to, you know, understand that, you know, teams, if they see that on tape, they'll keep attacking him. So we need to see those corrections made. But we'll continue to evaluate that, see how that goes this week. But I would look for him to play more auto.
Gus Bradley discussing Miles Jack in the Jaguars defense moving forward. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Maselli. CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
You know what he's talking about there is a couple, and we broke it down last week, is on the backside he gets a little anxious and starts peeking inside and gets too deep, and the two of the big Frank Gore runs out the backside are his responsibility. And he'll learn from that.
And that's him not playing. That's what
that's he'll learn from it. He'll clean it up. He's a good football player.
He's going to be good.
He's going to be really good. This defense, I'm telling you right now, these young players don't get hurt. Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler, and Ngakoue, those four right there, they're all basically rookies. But I'm just saying those four, they're basically rookies this year. They all have chances to be like stars. Jalen Ramsey has a chance to be the best corner in football.
I agree.
That's how good he is.
But I think we haven't seen the best of Sheldon Day.
I don't think so either. This could be the defense – a dominant defense if they all stay healthy and you continue to draft the pieces over the next year or so, that could be a dominant defense for, you know, 4 to 6 years.
Tony, they made the move that we expected with Colvin coming back and
Dwayne Gross, we knew it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how many draft, so that's one draft pick basically now that's contributing from that first draft class?
Yeah.
Cyprian, right?
Yep. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got Shoelace, who's on special teams.
Right. That's it. But starting, Cyprian's the only one.
Now, in fairness, one of them's an injury to Luke Jokel. He would be your starting left guard.
Right.
But not a great
But you also don't draft a guard third over or second overall either. But it was a bad draft.
Well, we just thought we did this last week, so we're not going to do it. But basically, what we said is the third round.
No, we did it with
the third round. No, I'm saying no. I'm not disagreeing with you, Pete. Remember, we came to the conclusion the third round should have been the first round because you have a bunch of Pro Bowl players, and the first round should have been the third round.
Correct. But there were other players in that draft. Like Lane Johnson was better. Now he's going to get suspended probably. But
yeah,
he's
10 games, and he's one away from being suspended forever. Obviously, he needs to pick his supplements better.
Let's,
right? Am I wrong? I mean, that's what it is.
All right.
You make me laugh when you say that.
What? That's what he needs to do.
Why is that so funny?
Old, because
creatine.
The old creatine.
Oh, man.
Creatine.
That was legal, remember though. They pushed that stuff like it was heroin.
Tom used to, Coughlin used to sprinkle creatine on the French fries in the cafeteria.
That was like a...
Come on.
Oh,
really?
There was that was... This place was so full of creatine, it was like unreal.
It was unbelievable. It was like, and what would it do, Tony? It would make you gain nothing but water weight gain, right?
Well, I guess it helped with your muscle a little bit because people still take it. I didn't take it. I mean, I tried it a few times, but I didn't see any real. I mean, maybe now if I think in the off season I took it sometimes, but I'm not a good supplement guy because I always forget to take it. I mean, I don't take vitamins. I don't take medicine. I don't take anything.
You're just all natural man.
No, I'm not very good. Now, that's why this diet plan I did was a miracle because I did supplements for 45 days or whatever it was. But I'm not good at it.
DSPSSSO.
I'm not good at it, though.
I laugh every time I hear that commercial now, by the way.
Like, I hope I need to stay healthy because I don't want to ever have to, like, get diabetes or something where you have to, like, take medicine every day or heart disease or, like, high blood pressure because I'll forget and I'll die.
I don't think anybody wants those.
No, I understand that. But I don't. I'm saying it wouldn't be good, especially for me, because I'll forget to take them, and then I'll die.
I'm with you, Tony. I never took anything, and I have to take something now every day, and I hate it because I had when I
like. What if you leave and you forget it? I mean,
what if you evacuated from a hurricane and you left it at home?
I forget everything at home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a disaster. I am a disaster when it comes to that, but.
Let's go through the injury reports.
How did the PFF grades go this week?
There were no grades because they didn't play.
They got them right then.
Oh, wow. Tashawn Gibson still nursing a knee injury. Rashad Green, Achilles injury. Ben Koyak with a meniscus tear. Mercedes Lewis, hip pointer, but is expected to go this week. Audric and Thomas were both on the field today. Audric with the triceps injury. And Thomas
Audric,
with the elbow.
I want to talk about Audric because that's an interesting one to me.
How so?
I thought Tyson played well. And I thought they were productive. I thought he played really good football.
Going to get Wally pipped?
I'm not saying he is or not. And for all those young people who don't know who Wally Pipp is, Wally Pipp was the first baseman for the New York Yankees when Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, a little different scenario because Tyson's been around, but same idea.
Yeah, Wally Pipp was a starter. He didn't want to play one day, didn't feel good. Lou Gehrig came in, and like 5,000 games later, he decided to stop playing baseball or something like that.
4,100 and change.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
kind of like when I'm done at CBS and JP doesn't show up and I take over for him.
This is second week in a row, Pete. You're threatening my seat.
Very similar, Pete. Very, very similar.
Hey, JP, don't worry about it. I'm going to be here for a long time at CBS.
I'm just saying, Tyson played well. Tyson,
I agree.
He plays really, really hard.
Yes, he does. And I'm not so sure. Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Tony. I might keep him in there.
I'm not saying anything. And I'm not saying Otterick won't get his job back. What I am saying is I don't think it's an easy decision. Based on – and not that Otterick was playing bad. I thought Otterick had a good camp.
He was just okay.
But I'm just
– For what – and I'm going to say this. For what they're paying Otterick, he should be better than he is.
I mean, I don't like judging a guy based on what he makes, of how good he should be.
Then he should be better than he is, based on him being a marquee free agent.
That's fine. Because the reason I don't like that, Pete, is
Tony's tap dancing.
No,
a little bit. Around it.
A little bit, you can tell.
No, I'm not. Let me tell you why I don't like talking about that. Because some people will look at the stat book and say Malik Jackson isn't playing well and he's not living up to his $90 million.
Well, I'm not some people. I'm talking about the tape, Tony.
I understand that, but I'm saying why I typically stay away from it, Pete, is because if you watch the tape, Malik Jackson is playing high-level football right now and is playing dominant three technique, which is defensive tackle football. That's the danger sometimes. You just start looking at
Audric
numbers.
Isn't. It's just like for all those years.
I do not.
Tyson.
Yes.
Tyson was a good, productive player.
But he had a first-round tag on him.
He was drafted too high.
Right.
Right. He was drafted too high.
Yep.
And so, therefore, everybody criticized him for who he was because of where he was drafted. I'm not criticizing Odrick for the money he's making. I'm just saying, and more power to him, God, but for what they are paying him, he needs to do more, I think.
And I would just look at it as if from a play standpoint. I'm not sure Tyson didn't play better against Indy than Odrick had been playing. Forget the money. Forget anything else. I'm looking at just strictly game for game. Now, it's one game that Tyson played, and it's not like the Colts are a great offensive line by any means.
Well, we can go to the Pro Football Focus grades. Let's go to the Pro Football. Since you like that segment, we don't have.
Yeah, but remember, they came back and they said Tyson didn't play well last week, and I disagreed with it. I remember that distinctly. That's why I was so annoyed.
Pete, do a little research. We'll get to those when we come back. Your calls as well. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1. Meet me at the 50 is coming up Thursday night. Susie Culver and John Gruden from ESPN are your hosts. Tickets available, jaguars.com/50.
I'm disappointed. Why? I wasn't invited to host. I'm going to talk to Michaela about that.
That's great, Tony.
I'm just disappointed. I thought, you know.
They wanted somebody who knew something about football.
Wow. That's pretty strong.
Well played, Pete. Well played.
Jaguars All Access, if you're watching on jaguars.com and the Jags app. That's coming up at the top of the hour. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I mean, it was tough not to be surrounded by, you know, my brothers and my teammates. But at the end of the day, I know my goal and I know what I have to do to come back and help this team. So to be able to see, you know, the secondary in particular playing well and the defense doing some good things, it was exciting at the same time. It looks like guys are playing fast. Guys are starting to trust each other. And you can just see the camaraderie out there. The guys are just really just going balls to the wall. You can see that we really want to win, and I think that we're really close to turning this thing into something special.
Aaron Colvin back on the roster in the locker room earlier today. Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank next week when the Jags are home against the Oakland Raiders. What are you laughing at, Tony?
Oh, I got a text from Woody's Vlog. I don't know who that is, but
a text or a
no a tweet. A
tweet.
Yeah. He's a Tide fan too.
Roll Tide.
And he tweeted me ITT shut down. They are no more.
Oh well,
makes me feel a little bit better if that's true. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't want to report that.
Why'd you say it on the radio then?
I'm just saying what I got. I got tweeted. I didn't say it's true. Okay. I mean, I get tweeted a lot of
Tony Boselli reporting.
Tony, you sent me a tweet saying, why do you think, and you're admitting it, why I can't admit them when I'm wrong?
It just doesn't happen very often.
No, because I'm not wrong that much.
No, you're wrong all the time, and you just don't admit it.
No, I admit I was wrong about Martellus Bennett. I told him so.
Hey, about some PFF grades, Pete?
All right, you ready?
What do you got?
All right. What you want the seasonal grades for each of them? How's that?
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah.
Not okay. That I think they mean anything, because
no, but
we've gone through this.
We have fun with this segment every week, and there's no game, so we'll go through the seasonal grade. Okay, Jared Odrick is a minus 2.9.
Okay.
Out of how many?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. Devin House is the lowest of the low, and he's minus 5.6.
Okay.
His pass rush is minus 2.6. His run defense is positive 2.3, Tony. Would you agree with that?
It's hard for me to say, Pete, because I don't understand how they grade. So,
well, has he been good against the run?
If zero's average, he's a positive, above average. I don't know if he's been great,
so like
but good.
A one, but that's pretty high.
Okay,
that's
yeah, I don't know if he's been dominant. I haven't got that since watching it. I'd have to go back and watch all the tape. But
let's put it this way. His run grade is better than Malik Jackson's.
No, I would disagree with that.
Okay. Tyson, overall, minus 2.1, so he's a little bit better.
Okay.
His run grade is minus 0.3, so he's worse there, and he's better in the pass rush. But he's still a minus.
Okay. I don't even know how to react because I think those grades are phooey half the time, most of the time. I don't really buy into them.
And Tyson's grade against Indy was a minus.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Sorry.
Run defense was a minus. His overall grade was a minus.
And they, by the way, they grade that off the TV tape. It's really
well. Easy. They come back. They supposedly come back and regrade it. Let me.
And so were they? Wait, did they call?
Based on their grades.
Did they call Todd Wash and ask him about what his assignment, what gap he was responsible for, though?
No. But Tony, isn't this great, though? I mean, you can't. We can't grade each play, but there's in no way, shape, or form that Jared Odrick's been better against the run than Malik Jackson.
None.
And based on their grades, it's significant.
Pete, that's why I don't like them. I like their analytics. I like all the stats they gather. I think they get a lot of. I think the site is very informative. Not informative enough for me to pay for a membership like you do, but
we get it through a company.
Okay, that's fine. I think they gather a lot of cool stuff, and I like, you know, when people are members taking that stuff and looking at it. It's very cool. I just think their grading system of grade. They put out grades. I would have more respect for it if they waited to put out the grades like 5 days later. I don't know how you grade off a TV copy a defensive lineman.
Or an offensive lineman.
Or the back or safety. Yeah, when they're not on the screen. How are you doing that? How do you do it when you don't even know what coverage they're in? So
Let me ask you this, though. Is it bother you that mainstream media is giving him much more credibility now?
A lot of things the mainstream media does bother me, Pete.
That
would be on the list of them.
Chris Collinsworth owns it,
right?
He owns
a piece of it. Of course they're going to pump it up. Come on, it's a conflict of interest. Even if it was complete garbage, which I don't think it's complete garbage.
See, I like stuff like what they did last night where they talk about their numbers with when they're releasing it. How quick they release it in and out of the pocket and stuff like that. That's all good
I think it's great stuff. That's why I said a lot of the stuff they have, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I just don't think their grading system is very accurate. I don't think it's fair, and especially if GMs and people are going to start making decisions on keeping players, paying players, and everything else, when you don't know the assignments and what someone is doing. A perfect example is the back in the Indy game where you had Tashaun Gibson – and Jalen Ramsey, and it was a blown coverage. If you're just watching that,
I didn't ask.
I haven't asked. But how do you know who's responsible? And who are you going to give the negative grade there to?
Both of them.
I believe it was, if you're asking me, Pete, what I think, I think it was Jalen's bust. By the way,
I thought it was Jalen's bust too.
I believe it is.
Because I thought he busted on it earlier and got away with it.
But I know this: there is a coverage where that would have been Tashaun's bust. So it was a call. Right. There's two different coverages. They do two different things. I believe in that case, it was Jalen's bust. The communication didn't get to him. But if you're just grading that, how do you know?
Well, you know what's kind of funny about that?
How do you know, Pete? You don't.
Right, you don't. You know what's funny about that, though? After the game, didn't Jalen kind of say that he was supposed to have help on that?
I don't think so. I didn't hear him say anything about it.
Didn't you say that, JP, last week that he said that?
I don't remember that.
Well,
I think you're making things up now, Pete.
No, I'm not. I remember somebody saying that.
It wasn't us because it wasn't here.
It was here last week.
No, it was not. We never talked about it.
We did talk about it.
We talked about the overall play. We didn't talk about whose fault it was. And I know for a fact that we did not say Jalen blamed other people.
I didn't say he blamed
anybody. Yeah, you did.
He said that
I just heard it.
No, I didn't. He said that he thought on one of those plays, he thought he was going to have safety help. That's what you guys said.
I didn't, but maybe JP did.
I don't remember that either.
Well, you guys are selective memory now.
No.
Oh, is that it?
Maybe it's you, Pete.
I remember one of you guys said that. We did discuss the play, though.
Yeah, we did.
It was a big play. It almost tossed him the game. Yeah. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. 355.
Do we have callers tonight?
NFL 1. 355-63.
They're hiding. There's no game they could play.
No game.
5-1. Let's go to Papa Louie in Neptune Beach. What's up, Papa Louie?
Are you still there, Papa Louie?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Did you leave or did you stay?
Did I leave or did I stay? I stayed, brother.
You got lucky then, man. It's not very – that thing would have come a little bit more east. You'd be in the ocean right now.
Oh, I'm on the air. All right, Tony. How you doing? Yeah. Well, when I saw those videos – when I saw those videos from Ocean One, I was like, oh, my God. I'm like two blocks down and nothing.
Well, you got lucky. If it had gone, 40 miles west, like I said, you'd be out in the ocean right now. We wouldn't be talking to you.
Oh, no, I evacuated. I went to Fort Carolina.
You just told us you stayed, Papa Louie.
What is wrong with you?
Papa Louie, ask your question.
This is what Papa Louie's having.
This is already turned into the worst call ever. Go ahead, ask your question.
My question is, the real heroes, St. John's County Sheriff's Office, because they had to spend 5.5 hours with you.
That's what you waited on hold for that long to make that comment, Papa Louie. My friends.
I have some Jaguar questions for you.
My friends at the St. John's County Sheriff's Office are they're
Bobby,
good people.
Bobby,
he's my guy.
Yeah. I know Bobby, and
yeah, he speaks very poorly. He speaks very poorly of you.
But if you weren't an offensive tackle in the NFL, you would have been in law enforcement.
I love the police.
I know you do, and I do too. I think they were great.
All right, what's your question?
I think they were the real.
We already talked about it.
Well, I want to talk real quick. A guard.
Say it one more time. Say his name again. I didn't catch it.
Omamawe?
No.
Close.
Who's our guard?
Close.
Who's our left guard?
Patrick Omame.
Omame.
Omame. Okay. Well, I really feel that with that run, he is a very aggressive run offensive. And then he can sit back and pass protect. Once the run is established, he'll be able to pass protect. I think that's where we need to go with that. And I think we need to go with Alualu. He's had two super games. Not super, but Audric. I like Audric, and I think Chris Smith probably will sit out if Audric's ready. All right. We'll go from there.
All right, Papa Louie.
Hey, thanks. Hey,
hang in there, buddy.
Hey, good luck. Hey, Pete, I want what he's having.
Or four of them.
That was interesting.
Oh, boy.
It is a couple hours after the start of the happy hour, you know, so who knows?
You see, he's still happy. There's no doubt about
Plus,
that.
Plus, they got a football game on the night, so. Just getting primed and ready. I'm not sure it's a very good football game. No, Derek Anderson going to get the start. So.
Yeah, but it's a big one.
Mm. And then Tampa's minus about 18,000 players tonight. So it's not the TV ratings are down. Did you notice that?
Yeah, what's up with,
they're down 10%.
What's the deal with that? Is it the presidential race and all that?
Well, there's some theory that it's the presidential race, but the games haven't been good. I mean, think about the games that – of all the games that have been on Monday night, Thursday night, and Sunday night, where are the marquee games? I haven't had any. I mean, yeah. Opening week, Arizona and New England would normally be a marquee game, but it was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Are people consuming it differently, Pete? You know, Thursday night's now on Twitter. I mean, or do they roll all that into one?
I'm not sure. I think they're consuming it differently. That's why, you know, eventually the theory is that it's all going to be online more so than on the TV anyways, and you'll just stream it to your TV.
Like, here's a perfect example. Sunday, because with the hurricane, everything going on through the weekend, I had some stuff I wanted to get caught up on because we have a big high school game this week coming up. Mm. And so I wanted to I went to my office and I turned on the Red Zone channel online because I'm an AT&T provider subscriber or whatever I am. I don't even know how you do it, but I just clicked it, hit the button.
I think it's Verizon.
Okay, whatever it is. I got on. Yeah. However I did it. And I got online, and sat there. I have two computer screens hooked up my computer. One screen was the Red Zone channel. The other screen was high school film I was watching to get ready for the game. But I spent 3 hours watching Red Zone, not on a TV. I mean, I don't know if they track that or how they do it. But here's me at 44 who traditionally watches TV and not on my devices or internet. And now that's how I did it. And I know that's how my kids watch stuff. I mean, it's just – so I wonder if that has something to do with it.
Well, that has something to do with it. I think the lack of marquee games has something to do with it. I think the political race has something to do with it. And I think, again, the stars have been kind of muzzled a little. You know, we've always had Peyton Manning.
What?
Odell Beckham's a star. He hasn't been doing much. Adrian Peterson's not playing. J.J. Watt's
suspended.
Hurt.
Yeah, Brady's What's out. That? Brady was suspended. Yeah. Yeah,
Brady was suspended. J.J. Yeah. Watt's hurt. I mean, it's just like there's a lot of stars who are.
How much does it hurt there's not a dominant franchise right now either with a dominant player? Now, I think the Patriots will get
well,
that.
New England's the dominant
Yeah, but
franchise.
But they for the first 4 weeks, they had no Brady.
Right.
My point
right.
is saying that, up to this point, there hasn't been. I mean, I wonder. It'll be interesting last night's game. That was a good matchup. Green Bay, New York, Aaron Rodgers,
well
Eli Manning.
Night.
Now, you're going against the debate. And I asked JP this last night. At the start of the debate, were you watching the debate or were you watching Sunday Night Football?
I was watching football.
Yeah, I watched the start of the debate, unfortunately, and I turned it off.
I don't want to watch those two.
It was hard.
But
I felt like I was watching like Saturday Night Live live.
But, you know, Tony, I just think that's a – but, again, you can't really tell until November. Then you'll get a better idea.
Yeah, but they're down 10% over last year. It's just interesting. I just think people watch stuff differently than they ever have.
Well, it's all tracked. It's got to be tracked somewhere.
But if I'm watching it on my computer, then I mean, guys younger than me have to be doing that. Cause
well, that's like the other day I was debating Brady Quinn. He was talking about college football ratings and how they're going up, and he said, "Oh, look at you know the NFL rating, like the Super Bowl ratings. How do people don't have?" National champ, other than the teams being in the game, they don't have national championship parties, right? Except for the fans of the two teams in the game. Everybody, there's a million Super Bowl parties. How do you gauge how many people are watching the game? Because somebody could have a party at a bar and have, you know, 500 people in there. Somebody could have a party at their house and have
100
people.
Easy,
people.
Yeah, easy. Yeah. I don't know how they do that, Pete. You're in the TV business. We brought this up to ask you.
Yeah, CBS Sports.
Know. You're the CBS guy. Can you call?
Les Moonves.
Can you call Jim Nantz and ask him?
No, but you know we watch.
Can
we
you call Ian Eagle and see if he has any insight on this?
Maybe he does. You work with Ian Eagle, you know Ian. You call, but you know we have all the TVs like the ones behind me. We watch all the games, but we also have. It's funny, like we have the feed from the network feed that's on like a four games we get to watch. The game is so much. It's like a play before or almost a half a play before.
About a 7 second delay.
It's more than that, even.
No, it's about what it is.
No, it's more than that because it'll happen and then it'll happen. So, but yeah, it's
Pete,
funny how you're right.
Pete, we watch it live in the stadium and we get the broadcast and we watch it live. So it's about 7 to 10 seconds. How about that?
But the way people consume the game is different now, and the whole thing. You know, when I first left, think about this, Tony. When I left to come to Sportsline, which was then Sportsline in 2000, one of the bosses there said. You're eventually going to watch all the games online. I said, what? Are you crazy? He goes, well, we don't have that technology yet. The speed isn't fast enough, but eventually you're going to watch it all online. And that was in 2000. And here we are in 16, and still people watch it on TV. But we're getting to the point where it's all going to be online. If you want to watch it on TV, you stream it to your TV.
And, heck, the phones are so big. My phone's big enough where I could watch the game on my phone if I wanted to.
Don't your kids who are, you know, significantly hipper than you are,
I'm pretty
don't
hippie.
They watch? No, you're not. You're a big green, if you know what I mean. Do you watch? Do you watch all the? Does they watch everything on their phones?
Here's a perfect example. And do I have time to tell this quick story?
Oh yeah, go ahead, please.
Perfect example, Pete. So last night, obviously I have one at Florida State, so he's out of the house. 17-year-old. I don't know what he was out with his friends because they had no school today because of the power. And so it was my three daughters and my wife. 14, 13, and 7. Well, I determined at 8:45, my 7-year-old's not sitting in the living room watching that debate because of the TV mature, you know, information that was going to be being shared by those two. So I told her, go upstairs and watch TV. In my head, thinking she would go get in my bed and turn on the 50-inch TV and watch that because that's what I would do. She grabs her older sister's phone. And walks out of the room, and I said, "What are you doing? Why are you taking the phone? I'm gonna go watch TV, Dad. How are you gonna watch TV? I'm gonna watch Netflix, My Little Pony, on her older sister's phone." Mm. And she just walks off, and I look at my wife, and I go, "Well, can someone go help her do it and get her set up?" And they all start laughing at me, and they're like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Well, someone has to go help her get set up, so she's not coming down here and interrupting whether I'm watching the debate or the football game or whatever." And they said, she knows how to do it. She does it on a daily basis, gets on the phone, goes to Netflix, clicks the thing, puts the password in, and goes to My Little Pony or whatever kid show she wants to
watch. I want a review of My Little Pony. Did you go up and watch it?
No, I didn't watch it. Oh. But so to answer your question, Pete, it's they watch their TV on Netflix, on YouTube, and all these other channels, and they watch it on their iPad or their phone. It's crazy to me.
It is.
I'm like, you know there's a big TV you can watch this on. But that's not how they do it.
No, I know. It's unbelievable.
We'll take a timeout. Come back with more. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. My Little Pony, is that even on anymore?
I have no idea. It's on Netflix.
You just made up a show.
No, it's on Netflix. Off the top of your head. Fact. My kids watch it on Netflix.
Care Bears and all that stuff?
I don't know, JP. Maybe it's some others. They watch it.
Barney. You would know. I don't know. No. Just ask for a friend. Back in a moment. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Actually, the bye week is settled me back down and got me back to the fundamentals. Because once you start getting into the routine of these games, then you start kind of, you know, maybe getting out of technique and things like that. So, you know, get my mind off for a second. Coming back today, went out today, had a solid day.
Telvin Smith, Jaguars linebacker. You might have heard of him. J.P. Well, Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
I got to disagree with Telvin.
What?
He's been playing really good football. I'm not sure I want anything unless it's just going to be better, good, really good football. I mean, he's been playing at a high level. I think he's a little humble there, which is good.
He's a defensive player.
He's a really good player. Yeah.
You said he's the best
defensive player.
The best one, huh?
I think he's been their best defensive player.
Him close. And Malik. There's or three Jaylen. Guys, Jaylen, Malik, and Telvin.
Yeah, but probably. But the interesting thing about that is in the preseason he didn't look right, Telvin.
He made some massive mental errors or eye violations in the pass game.
Yeah,
and now he was ticking them off.
Yeah, and he's upped his play a lot. I got to give him credit for that.
That's why Jack couldn't push him off the field. Well, and the reason Telvin's playing at a high level.
Well, the reason Jack's playing auto is because Puz and Telvin playing good football.
That's right.
Now, ultimately, Miles Jack is going to be your Mike linebacker, and Telvin Smith is going to be your Will linebacker. Ultimately. I'm not saying this year.
Down the road. That's the future of the
organization. I mean, that's the future of the defense. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind. But give Puz credit. Puz has done a great job, and I love how he did it. He did it the right way. He helped the kid all through training camp, all through OTAs, all through preseason. He helped the kid, tried to make the kid better. He continues to do it. He takes him out before the games. He teaches him how to get ready to play. He goes through warm-ups with him. He's a true pro. And guess what? He's held him off. He has held him off and said, not yet. It's still my job.
Correct. And you got to give him credit for that.
Give
he's played
him credit.
Well.
He's played very well.
Yeah, he's played well.
And that's a guy that Pete wanted to cut in the offseason.
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh,
nice try.
Pete,
you said they need to be faster at linebacker and that Puz should not be on the field, especially on third down.
Ooh.
Quote, unquote.
I still think.
Cat got your tongue? Cat got the tongue, Pete?
No, if Jack had been around and not been restricted by the stupid UCLA rules, he might have pushed him for that job and taken it from him.
But can you at least say I was wrong? Because so far in four games, Puz has played at a high level at middle linebacker and can still play every down.
He has. He's played better than I thought he would play. I'll give you that.
You're not going to say you were wrong?
I still – if Jack had been around, I would have had Jack on the field.
You can't do it. I'm telling you.
Can't do it.
He can't do it.
He can't go there, Tony.
It is so painful for him. I mean, this is the same guy.
It really isn't. I would say
this is the same guy that in 1995 said the Jaguars should draft Steve Walsh with the first overall pick out of BYU.
No, John Walsh, and that was
John Walsh, whatever.
The draft came around, by the way.
John Walsh.
That was in like 1994.
He only ended up being like a 15th round draft pick.
Well, I didn't draft.
Heck of a job,
Brian DeMarco either.
See, he still can't admit it that he was wrong.
No, he can't.
No, I can admit when I'm wrong. I can admit when I'm wrong.
Russell Wilson.
I was wrong.
You were
wrong. Martellus Bennett today.
Russell Wilson.
What did you say about Martellus Bennett so much? So bad.
I said he was overrated.
Playing good right now, man.
He's playing really good right now. And, yeah, look, there are times when I'm – am I wrong on Russell Wilson? To be determined, but so far he's proven me to be better than I thought he'd be. Yes.
Were you wrong on Christian Ponder?
Oh, way wrong.
Ah, we heard it right there.
Oh, that was an awful –
Well, you've
awful,
already admitted that one. You have to, like, admit that one.
Oh.
He said he was going to be better than Cam Newton.
Yep, I did. Mm. You've never been wrong before on a player, Tony.
No. I have not.
Perfect record.
Perfect record on pro personnel and college drafting decisions.
See, that's the thing. Fans come back at me all the time, and I say, that's great. I made an evaluation, and I was wrong. But it's not like it's an evaluation that's costed me my job like it cost the GMs.
Yeah, the funny thing is we'll get on you, Pete, which I like to do because it's just fun. But tell me the last time there's a – tell me one GM in the league who hasn't been wrong. They're all wrong at some point.
Right.
They've all missed.
Everybody raves about Belichick and all his greatness.
He's
but
missed.
He's missed, too. You know, and here's one, Tony. They kill Jerry Jones for being a personnel guy, right? Go back and look at his last seven first-round picks.
Well, I know the offensive line's been good.
Frederick, three of them are Frederick, Frederick, Martin, who's playing as well as any offensive lineman in the league, and Tyron Smith. So there's three of them. Des Bryant's another one.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott. Mo Claiborne, who's playing well now. Hadn't had a good career, but he's playing well now, though. He did a great job on A.J. Green yesterday. But you're right. That's not a great pick. And then the other one is I'm trying to think of the seventh one. But you get the point. I mean, for all the crap that he takes,
A couple things on that. So on that, along those lines, and we're talking more around the league this week because there's no Jaguar, and we'll get into the Bears game a little bit after we let Pete go. Let's talk about Belichick.
Jones is the other one. He's starting free safety.
Yeah, good player. Belichick trades for Jonathan Cooper, the guard, and cuts him. Can the kid just not play? You talk about missing. You trade away Chandler Jones. You get Cooper, right? Yeah, you get Cooper back and a second-round pick.
And they drafted the guard who's starting on the left side, the rookie from North Carolina State, Tooney, who's a pretty good player.
Yeah,
but
no, he's very average, but I've watched him.
He'll be good. He's a rookie.
Fine. But can Cooper not just play? He's the seventh overall pick like 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
You know, it's funny you say that because when I was in Arizona – he was out working at Bentley's camp, and I talked to some people about him, and, you know, they just – there's something missing. And then last year – I mean, I'm not going to – this is – his mother died, like, right before the season when he was in Arizona.
Yeah.
Before the season.
Tough deal.
And it kind of – yeah, that's a – I mean, that's hard to deal with. Anybody who's gone through that, which I have, is tough to deal with. And it kind of set him back a little bit. And he's battled through a bunch of injuries, but now Cleveland claims him today. But to get to your point, Tony – yeah, they traded for him and the draft pick. They got rid of Chandler Jones. Everybody goes, oh, well, they don't need Chandler Jones. He's going to be a free agent after the season. They can't pay him. You let 11 sacks or whatever it was walk out the door?
Yeah, why don't you just keep him and let him go then?
Right. It makes no sense. And he's playing well for Arizona.
So that was my first NFL question. And my second one is, and I want to come back to this. Do not answer this.
Oh.
Here's a tease.
I like the radio tease.
Tease.
You're such a tease, Tony.
First part's a two-part question that we'll come back and answer and hear from the expert from CBS Sports, Pete Prisco, who has never missed on any of these. Dak Prescott, how does he get to the third round? He has the most consecutive completions without an interception, I believe, in the history of the NFL for a rookie. And part two with that, what do you do when Romo comes back? Don't answer, Pete, because I think I know where you're going to go. But that is a conversation that a lot of people are having right now, especially the second part. Romo or Prescott?
PRI Productions is a Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Tony has teased us. We'll have an answer from Pete.
It wasn't great, but it was
That was really good. It was well done. Well done. Well executed.
Thank you.
Execution.
Max likes it. He's back there.
Is the key. Jaguars Monday around the league after this on Jaguars Radio.
I just really like our mentality of our team coming out. I mentioned that before, but it just feels different out there. It's like, you know, I mentioned before, it's like you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, it just feels different. Like this team is like, okay, you know what? We had some things go our way, some things that didn't. But we understand what took place. You know what? Let's take this now. We just came off a bye week, and let's get this thing going here a little bit and really see some progress made in some of the things that we know we need to get corrected. And it just seems like a real tight focus that way.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today in his media availability. The Jags back on the field. They're off tomorrow and then back at it Wednesday to get prepared for the Chicago Bears Sunday at Soldier Field. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Here's our look around the National Football League in week number 5. Hey, let's start off with the AFC South. We'll get to your question that you teased coming up as well. Let's start with the Houston Texans. No chance against the Miami.
Wait, we need to do power rankings, JP.
That's what I'm doing, right? I mean, going through each team first, and you have the rankings after that. I mean, okay, Pete?
Power rankings will be interesting this week.
Yeah, so the Houston Texans blown out by the Vikings. They're now 5-0. Osweiler was terrible. Texans are in first place, though, 3-2. What do you make of the Houston Texans?
I don't think they're very good offensively. Brock Osweiler could end up being, a big bust. It's still early, so let's not kill him yet. And defensively, they're not the same without J.J. Watt. I thought it would be an issue. They're still good, but a lot of those guys get a – you know, you look at a guy like Whitney Mercilus, and now all of a sudden you're going to go from getting one-on-one blocks the entire night to people game-planning you and accounting for you as a defensive end. And it kind of just snowballs everywhere else. J.J. Watt was a big part of that, obviously. So they're still a solid team, but they got some issues.
Yeah, that was bad yesterday. And you got to think about it. The two road games, they've been destroyed by New England with Garoppolo. Or no, with Brissett, that
yeah,
was.
It was
I'm
Brissett,
sorry.
Yep.
And then they've been destroyed by Minnesota, with who's, you know, everybody's hurt on that team. That can't be good. And Brock Osweiler was awful. I mean, with a capital A, awful. And that's concerning moving forward. But having said all that, they get Indy this week. They got a chance to basically put a, four-game division lead on Indy this week. Because, right, Indy's got three losses. They have two. They win, Indy has four, and then they'd have three games up on them. I mean, yeah, this is a big week for Texas. But I'm with Tony. They're not very good right now.
Speaking of the Colts, they played the week after London, and it didn't look to really be an issue. Luck with a couple of touchdowns, 322 yards. The Bears had over 500 yards of offense against the Colts' D.
Colts are pathetic on defense, with a capital P. They're bad.
Capital letters tonight.
They can't rush the passer.
No.
They're not good in the secondary.
No.
They cut two starters from the Jaguars game last week. I mean, Cromartie was terrible, but they cut the linebacker more. I mean, it's just a bad defense. And you saw last week, Tony, did you see Grigson come out and say, we're restricted because we paid Luck, the quarterback, what we can do?
I thought that was embarrassing he said that, frankly.
Terrible. Of course you paid the quarterback. It's up to you to draft well and fill the roster around them.
Pete, I also was told that they're $11 million under the cap right now.
Right. They have money. And so it's not a good football team. They did win because Luck's playing better. They still have weapons. They still can move the football. The right side of the offensive line is dreadful. The left side actually played better yesterday. But, yeah, they're not good. And if they lose this week at Houston, big problems.
Tennessee Titans, they moved to 2-3, a win over the Dolphins. Mariota was very good. Three touchdowns through the air, another on the ground. And, of course, questions about who's the quarterback in Miami moving forward. But the Titans yesterday. Murray's playing pretty good ball, too.
Exotic smash mouth.
There
works.
You have it. It's, yeah.
Well, you know, it works when the team you're playing stinks. It doesn't work when your team you're playing isn't very good. I mean, it's good. So I get it. They went down there and they pushed them around. And Miami can't stop the run. Miami's linebackers, as a group, might be the worst in the NFL. And everybody loves to blame Sue. Sue's playing good football. Those guys' run fits are terrible. And the guy next to him, whoever it is, if it's Mitchell or Phillips, he's not very good either. And so they get run on, and that's a problem. And you know, Tennessee ran the ball, and Mariota didn't have to get pressured. He stood in there and made some throws. And Miami was bad. Miami was terrible. So I don't know how good Tennessee is, but Tennessee's going to look good Sunday night at 4 o'clock. I mean, Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, they get Cleveland. They're going to be evened up. They're going to be 3-3 after this weekend.
Does – what happens in Miami, Pete?
I mean,
they got a boatload of money in Sue. They paid the quarterback a little bit.
Yeah, they can get out of that one if they want to. But, Tony,
they're not very good.
Roster. It's a bad roster, and I blame the front office. I think what's going to happen after the season, I think Greer, Bobby Greer's son, Chris Greer, will take over as the GM. They'll get rid of Tannenbaum because he doesn't know what he's doing. And then they'll give Gase a couple years to try and see if they get some talent there and win. I mean, they have no talent. Yesterday, the offensive line, Albert didn't play at left tackle, and they
Tunsil
announced
got,
right before the game.
He got hurt in the shower. Would he slip in the shower or something?
Yeah.
Get better shower shoes.
That's a red flag. That's a red flag to me, by the way. That might be an excuse. And so you're playing Billy Turner, a bad guard at left tackle. I mean, they were all over Tannehill. Everybody kills Tannehill. Yeah, he can't play with the way they're playing now. They're terrible.
All right, so let's get to the AFC South power rankings. Pete, you want to start us off tonight?
Yeah, can I put nobody at number one?
Nope.
Is that possible?
You got to put someone there.
Just because they're 3-2, I'll put Houston there. I'll probably go. I'll still put the Colts at 2, Tennessee at 3, and I'll put Jacksonville last.
After the Jags beat the Colts head to head?
Yeah, I'll probably flip those around. Put the Colts, Jacksonville.
Hey, you talk
to
it this
way. Yeah, you're right. Do it. Houston, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indy. How about that?
I'm going Jackson.
I know where you're going.
I'm going Jacksonville, Tennessee,
Homer,
Houston, Indy.
You're a homer. You don't really think Jacksonville's the best team in the division.
Yeah, because the way I do it, I go head to head.
Well, they haven't played the other teams yet.
I know, but I'd say they beat the Colts. I said that before. I think they beat the Texans for sure here at Everbank. And I think they beat the Tennessee Titans.
So
I think
only head to head. Wait a second. So you only base it on head to head. So let's just say for the sake of your argument, they go to Chicago and lose, and the Texans win.
I'll have to make some changes.
Okay.
I'll have to make changes at that point.
So it's only head to head when it applies and it fits.
No.
If the Colts beat the Texans and Jacksonville loses to the Bears, are you still going to use that head-to-head to put them ahead of the Colts?
No, can't at that point. Too far removed.
Okay.
I go week to week. Sample, I look at what is right, my immediate information, and I make judgments based on that and looking ahead. Now,
but I will agree with you on this, Tony. Jacksonville has a chance to be the best team in the division.
Yeah, so this week, let me ask you this. This week, after the Colts win, the Jags win, and the Titans win, Texans lose, who's your number one team at that point?
Great question.
The Titans might be.
Maybe. And then we beat them Thursday night. It's gonna be,
Is that next Thursday? Is that a week from Thursday?
A couple of weeks away.
2 weeks.
Chicago, home, Oakland.
Raiders.
That's going to be a good football game.
The return of Jack Del Rio.
That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, let's get to the rest of the National
Football
League.
Can you do the tease now?
Yes, let's go. Dallas Cowboys, 28-14 win. Zeke Elliott, big day, a 60-yarder, couple of touchdowns. Dak Prescott, 18-24. Is Romo done in Dallas, was the question posed by Tony Boselli. Pete?
And the answer is and should be no. Because, yes, Dak Prescott's done a nice job. And, yes, he's making good throws. And no, he hasn't thrown any picks. He did turn it over yesterday for the first time. He got hit and he fumbled. But if Romo's under center yesterday, they still win that game. They opened up, and it's 2 weeks in a row, they've opened up gigantic holes in the run game. And they run the football, and they're actually playing better on defense. You know who flashed yesterday on defense for the Cowboys?
No.
Ryan Davis.
Ah.
Good for him.
Wow. Flashed a little bit yesterday. He only played 25 plays, but it's the most he's played this season since they picked him up. And he actually flashed a little bit. But so, yeah.
So let me play. I'm not saying I disagree with you. So let me play devil's advocate and take the other side. You're 4-1. The kid is playing good football, smart football. And why do you mess up something where the team obviously is rallied around him? Everyone's playing at a high level. You're running the ball well. Decision-making is very good. Why would you make the change about, what was it now, 13, 14 years ago, similar situation. Tom Brady came in for an injured Drew Bledsoe. Bledsoe gets healthy. They were playing better. Even if Drew Bledsoe might have been a better quarterback head-to-head at that point, they were playing better with Tom Brady. Belichick didn't make the change, ends up winning the Super Bowl.
Let's hold off until next week, until they go to Green Bay. If the kid goes to Green Bay this week and wins, then I think you can make a stronger case for him. You got to look at who he's – they haven't beaten – the only team with a winning record they've beaten, Tony, so far is Washington. I mean –
yeah, but
you –
I mean, 2 weeks ago we would have sat here, you and I both, and said Cincinnati's one of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, and they're not. And San Francisco's not very good. They beat them. Chicago's not very good, and he beat them. So the only team with the, as of right now, the only team with a winning record he defeated were the Redskins, and I don't think they're very good. So you got to hold off on it. Romo, when Romo's played and he's been healthy, he's been damn good throwing the football. So no, I would play, me personally, it would be Romo. Now if he went in and stunk it up, then Prescott's back in. You have that option now.
How did 32 teams miss on him twice?
Well, he had three times. He was picked in the fourth round, right? Yeah.
I thought he was a third rounder. Is he a fourth rounder?
I thought it was fourth. So, how?
So three times.
Well, he had the DUI.
That's right.
Remember?
But he got off that, right? He didn't get prosecuted.
Yeah, but there were a lot of concern about that and everything else. So I think that concerned him a little bit. But he's much better now than he was at Mississippi State. I think at Mississippi State he was good. But he was much wilder and would take more chances. See, I go back to something I say about quarterbacks all the time. If you're not throwing interceptions, I also don't think you're taking your shots.
Yeah.
Nick Foles. Remember Nick Foles threw 2 1 year?
No, I get it. I mean, David Garrard had the year where he was 18-2 as well.
Yeah, and that was he's not that, you know what I mean? So I just think we got to be careful with these guys and team scheme. I give the Cowboys credit. I give the Eagles credit. They've schemed it up nice for those quarterbacks. But eventually you're going to have to play quarterback. And you know this, Tony. What is it, 4 or 5 games when those defensive coordinators, 3, 4, 5 games when those defensive coordinators start getting a book on you a little bit?
No, it definitely changes. I was wrong because I thought they'd have picked it up. I said at the beginning of the year that it was going to be a reality check for Dak Prescott as soon as the regular season started. And hasn't been yet.
No, it helps, and you'll be the first one. You can vouch for this because you know better than anybody. That offensive line sure as heck makes it a lot easier for him.
Oh, yeah. You have an offensive line that plays at a high level. It makes everything easier. You protect.
I mean, they're not weak.
You run the
ball. They're not weak at any spot. They're not weak at any.
Well, no, but
you know, Lyle Collins.
In fairness to them, they're without their starting left guard, and they're still playing at a high level.
Well, because Ronald Leary's playing pretty good football for him.
And so it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Give Jerry Jones some credit. He's built a roster that's pretty – resilient.
If he didn't have knucklehead pass rushers that can't stay on, that won't stay on the field, they'd be even better.
That's true. That's a good point on the defensive side. A few other of these games quickly, and then we'll pick Monday Night Football. Steelers 31-13 over the Jets. Big Ben with a big day. Coates had a big day too, Pete.
Yeah, Coates is an interesting guy, and I just sent out a tweet about it because all my guys here say it all the time. He drops a lot of passes. I don't care. He
catches a lot of long ones too.
He's big, he's strong, and he can run. I mean, Tony, he went. If a guy drops 2 or 3 passes a game and he goes for 7 for 140 and 2 scores, you'd take that, wouldn't you?
Well, the 2 years ago when I was at the Senior Bowl helping with the Jaguars, he was on our roster, and he was raw back then. But he was big and physical, and the kid could fly. And
can you imagine if they had Bryant?
It was a project.
Bryant, him, Wheaton. Le'Veon Bell back now and that passing game. It's incredible.
They're good. I don't know how they got I don't know how the Eagles held them to 3 points. I still haven't figured that mystery out.
It was one of those games when you just go, oh, man, it just went bad, and it kept going bad.
And we'll finish with the Patriots, Tom Brady back, and Martellus Bennett had three. Hey, who's the better team, Patriots or Steelers?
Vikings.
In the AFC.
Oh. If they're playing in Foxborough, I'm taking the Patriots.
Patriots are better.
The Steelers can't beat the Patriots in Foxborough. Cannot do
and
it.
And the Steelers have defensive problems still.
Yeah, they'll spread more so. Yeah. What will happen
more
is
so than
they'll spread them out. When they play the Steelers, what Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will do is they'll get in four and five wides. They'll spread out the Steelers and they'll dink and dunk it down the field, control the clock, limit the reps on Big Ben. They'll double. They'll play two man over Antonio Brown and force Ben to go somewhere else. That's what they'll do. And it works.
They're the best team. And the Vikings right now are the best team in the league, but they're built as one of those teams that everything has to go right or else Tony, their offensive line has major problems now. The Clemmings kid went to left tackle and was terrible yesterday. The right tackle, you know, Andre Smith is now on IR. They got issues on that offensive line. That's going to start showing up.
I agree with you, Pete. Is Andre Smith season-ending IR, or is this something he'd come back from in 8 weeks?
I think it's season-ending. I mean, it's season-ending, I think. I think it's his biceps, remember, or triceps or one of those things.
Monday Night Football, the banged-up Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 1-3. They'll have 20 guys not playing tonight. Well, not that many. And the underachieving
Almost.
Carolina Panthers with Derek Anderson as your starting quarterback. Both teams at 1-3. What a night it's going to be in Charlotte. Who you got, Pete?
You're sad you're on power.
Not on tonight, right? I mean, it's terrible. I'll take Carolina. I don't like that, but I think Tampa. No Gerald McCoy. No, I mean, they're banged up all the way across the board, and they're not very good anyways. I like Carolina.
I'll take whatever sitcom's on the other station.
Not even going to watch
Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory's on CBS.
I'll watch it. I'm joking. I don't watch sitcoms. Trust me. I couldn't tell you which one it was on. Where is it at? Tampa?
It's in Charlotte.
Carolina.
I'm going to take Carolina then. I was taking the home team.
You didn't listen to my intro.
No, I didn't.
What a night is going to be in Charlotte.
No, man, I missed that part. I'll go Carolina as well. I don't think either team's any good.
Pete, have a fantastic show tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. You got it, fellas. Take care.
There's Pete Frisco, CBS Sports senior writer. When we come back, it's you and I, Tony. We'll wrap it up.
That'll be compelling.
We'll talk Jags Bears. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I'm Jeff Prosser.
And I'm not Jeff Prosser.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Yes, it does. Final few moments here on Jaguars Monday. Pete Prisco's out of here. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli to take you the rest of the way. Coming off the bye week. Coming off Hurricane Matthew. Jags are on the road this week. Soldier Field, Chicago.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What's that? A deep dish pizza.
I am looking forward to that. The problem I'm going to have is this. I'm going to want to go out to dinner Saturday night to a good meal. Steak maybe, Joe. Something like that. Maybe some of the sponsors. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Got options. Oh, I'm weighing my options.
I forgot you're on the wall.
Weighing my options. But there's part of me that would almost rather just order, like I did last time we were there in the preseason, I think it was, medium deep dish for myself, loaded, and sit in my hotel room watching college football with a full deep dish pizza.
Mm. How about we go to the Billy Goat and get cheeseburgers?
Ah, cheeseburger.
That's a tough one, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Fortunato.
That'd be good.
A great call there.
But the deep dish pizza, I can't get
no
that
Pepsi,
anywhere
Coke.
Else.
Yeah. Or no Coke, Pepsi.
Either way.
I can get a cheeseburger other places. I can't get that deep dish anywhere else.
You got to do what you got to do, Tony.
I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Will you be hurt, Joe, if I don't go with you? Or happy?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Mm. But it's a big game. I mean, I'm looking forward. Chicago's a great city, obviously. Great food, great atmosphere, great fans. Love their football. Not a very good football team.
Nope.
They're probably saying the same thing about us, though.
Yep.
Let's not kid ourselves right now. They're saying this is a game that we're better than the Jaguars. We have to win.
They got questions at the quarterback spot.
They got
Hoyer,
questions.
I mean, they had John Fox today said, we don't have a plan when it comes back healthy for Cutler.
That's a heck of a comment to make as a head coach. I like John Fox, though. Heck of a very good coach. Listen, it comes down to this team executing the way they did on defense, playing at a high level, playing fast, their star players playing like stars. And then offensively, Blake played better against Indy. But I think it still needs to improve. Need more production out of the quarterback position. Need to keep up the run game and keep that going, which I think will help Blake with more production. But the best thing Blake did is not throw interceptions. Did not turn it over. Played smart football, played good football. Used his legs when he needed to. And he needs to build on that. And if he can do that, the Jaguars will win the football game. It's as easy as that. I really believe it. If Blake plays the way he did and improves on that with the smart, attention-to-detail type of football, making plays, having fun out there, running around a little bit, I think they win. And I think they win convincingly. I think we will have our first. I'm not ready to make a lock of the week.
Oh, no. Not early yet. For that?
Too early.
Waiting
we'll
for
do Thursday?
It Thursday. Okay. See how the week goes.
But I'm thinking about locking for this week.
Thinking about it.
A victory kneel down. Not just a victory.
Oh,
but a
formation.
Victory formation kneel down at the end of the game to end it.
I don't even remember the last time that happened for the Jags. I'll be honest with you.
I haven't locked one of those for a long time.
Well, that's a bold lock.
Might be the lock. I'm not ready to do it yet.
For a 1-3 football team, that's a bold lock.
I got to study the film. Got to look at it. Look at the matchups. Kind of evaluate where the injuries are as the week goes on. But Thursday night, tune in because – that's the type of information you're going to get.
It could be the stone-cold Bocelli lock of the week.
And I'm looking for some help. If anyone could hit me up on Twitter, help me decide, do I go deep dish pizza by myself watching college football?
Seems very lonely.
That's one. A, I'm not
you hate
today.
Everybody.
Yeah. A, B, go to cheeseburger joint with Joe.
That's the Billy Goat Tavern.
Is it good food?
Oh, yeah.
Billy Goat Tavern with Joe.
That's I could be talked into having pizza with you, too.
Okay,
you know.
That's B, and you're welcome. That's B. Or C.
Italian beef.
Going and getting a big steak or Italian meal with some friends of mine who are sponsors going up. That's my three options. If you hit me up on Twitter and give me A, B, or C, that would help me make my decision.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to your possible Stone Cold.
Those are tough decisions
tough.
To make. Tough.
Thanks to Pete Prisco, Tony Bocelli, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. That's it. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.